The desire to create is one of the deepest yearnings of the human soul. We each have an inherent wish to create something that did not exist before. The more you trust and rely upon the Spirit, the greater your capacity to create.
I'm Nancy Hansen, and this is Everything Creative. This program explores a wide range of creative ideas, talents, and experiences through interviews and group discussions. Today, NBA player Mark Madsen interviews professional organizer Robin Peterson.
Welcome back to Everything Creative. I'm Mark Madsen, and we are here with Robin Peterson, a very interesting individual who is a professional organizer and has done professional organizing for some time. Robin, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Sure. I'm a mother of six. Mm-hmm. All of them are in their 20s and 30s now, but I've got an 18-year-old at home that keeps mm-hmm. us busy. My mom said that when I was 3 years old, if I was bored, she'd give me a drawer to clean and organize, and that would keep me entertained. So I think I've just been an organizer from forever, mm-hmm. and sometimes it's a blessing, sometimes it's a curse.
Now, how would it be a curse?
Because, you know, if I'm not organized, if I haven't really got things in line, it's just hard to function. For me.
Absolutely.
I have to really have things laid out and know what's going on. And so, you know, a lot of times when things are just off the cuff or spontaneous, I've got to go, okay, we can do that, but won't be organized quite like I want.
Now you mentioned that your mother saw this quality in you at a very young age. How did you go from recent college graduate to wife and mother to professional organizer?
Well, I at first when I was a young mother, of course, I had five kids in 7 years. So that took up a lot of time.
That must have taken up a lot of time. Congratulations.
Thank you. Then 8 years later, we had our last one. But I taught at Ricks College for a few years in the interior design department. Mm-hmm. And I found that organizing really went hand in hand with interior design because mm-hmm. it was laying a pattern out and just looking and seeing how things worked. Mm-hmm. And as my children grew up, people would ask me to come and speak at Relief Society groups. Mm-hmm. And then I would have people come up and say, well, do you go into homes and help people organize? Mm-hmm. And I said no. And then finally I said yes. And so about 10 years ago, I started organizing. And I've just found it really fulfilling and creative.
Now, here's a question that I really would be interested to hear your take on, having done it for 10 years. Is organization something that you can teach other people that will then stay with them?
Oh, absolutely. I think organization can be taught. I don't think maybe you're going to be a star at it. Yeah. But, you know, I have a beautiful daughter that's 25 mm-hmm. that's musical, creative, intelligent. She's going to start her MBA mm-hmm. in the fall. But I would not say she was particularly organized.
Now, is this your daughter that's with us in the studio today behind the glass window?
It is not. It's my daughter that's 100 miles away and
okay.
can't hear me.
Okay. She will be hearing a copy of this later.
I called her and asked her. But she has lived her whole life with a very organized mother. And she now really is organized. So I wouldn't say it was natural for her. My mm-hmm. daughter that's here in the studio is just naturally organized.
That is good to know. Now, you mentioned that oftentimes you'll go into a married couple's home, whether they've been married for a short time or a long period. How does that go? Is it one spouse that's more organized or more structured than the other? And what sorts of things come from working with couples as opposed to individuals?
I usually don't work with couples. I'll work with the wife who wants me to give her ideas of how to help her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it is the husband that has the problems. And, of course, sometimes in any marriage, it's the wife that might have the problems, but she sees it in the husband.
Okay.
And I just try and help them work with the talents that they have.
Right.
And learn to change themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think, as with anything in the gospel, if you set an example, it will follow, whether it's children, neighbors, mm-hmm. husband. Mm-hmm. And so I really try to stay out of, you know, well, my husband wants to do this and this, and he wants to buy this and this, and what do you think? And I don't want to be a marriage counselor. I feel like sometimes I am, but generally I encourage them to change themselves.
Mm-hmm. Starting from the individual and
right.
then leading by example.
Right.
Robin, you might not want to answer this question, but are men more or less organized than women?
Oh, I would say it was not a gender-specific, you know, mm-hmm. talent.
Okay.
I happened to marry somebody who's extremely organized.
Okay.
And our idea of fun is cleaning a garage on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So I really have not had to deal with... I've never picked up a pair of socks or, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, he's just very organized. But there are some women that are really frustrated, and men, too,
right.
that are extremely frustrated. And you know, the women that feel that because they can't organize, they're less of a person,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, I've seen women with tears in their eyes, just sad because they couldn't organize. And it was affecting their marriage and their home. But they can be taught.
Right.
And they can, with different steps and small steps, learn to be organized and be able to, you know, I was going to mention, last night I read every scripture in the Standard Works that had the word organize in it.
Wow. How many scriptures were there?
There are 26.
Okay.
And the one that I always use is in Doctrine and Covenants 109.
Okay.
I think it's the one that everybody is familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
Organize yourselves, prepare every needful thing, and establish a house, even a house of prayer. And it goes on. But the next scripture right after it is the one that I always use in my classes, and I think is what the Lord is trying to explain to us.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, when you have this organization, then he says in verse 9 of Doctrine and Covenants 109, that your incomings may be in the name of the Lord, that your outgoings may be in the name of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So what he's saying is be organized in everything you can be,
mm-hmm.
and then you can give more time to the Lord, and you can consecrate your time and give it to whatever calling or needs that you can do to build up the kingdom.
What a great insight that when you have everything squared away, so to speak, and in order, you really are able to dedicate the majority of your energies to things where the importance level is much higher. Family.
Right.
Church, community.
It's absolutely right. And
mm-hmm.
That's what we all want to do.
That's true.
We want.
That's true.
We don't want to spend a half an hour looking for a bungee cord, or you know, a flashlight,
right.
or you know. I helped one person once. We were cleaning a huge closet, and her husband was the scout master.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, as we were cleaning it out, we must have found 25 bungee cords.
Mm-hmm.
She said every time he took the scouts to camp. He would buy a new bungee cord because he had no idea where the other ones were. So we collected them all, you know, and put them in a box. And hopefully he hasn't had to buy another bungee cord.
Hopefully it saved him some money.
Yeah, and it does. It saves money. It saves time.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Now, when you go into a home or a business and you do this professionally and your email, once again, jrpeterson@juno.com, that's Peterson with a D and an S-E-N. What are some of the systems that you put into place for a family or a business? And how do you know what is going to be effective?
Well, I think the biggest thing that you need to learn is that organization can be sustainable, and that's what you want to do. You don't want to have to go to somebody's house. You want them to be able to sustain the system that you're going to give them. Mm-hmm. But I always tell people I'm not going to go and organize unless they're there, and they can tell me where they use things. It's designed around them, mm-hmm. And then it's a good fit. It's not a poor fit. It's a good mm-hmm. fit, and they can learn to sustain it. So, mm-hmm. I may say, where do you keep your cleaning supplies? And somebody mm-hmm. says, I always go into this closet and do it, or I'll do it under the kitchen sink, or I'll do it in the bathroom. And so we put it where it is they'll use it. So then they can return it, and it's easy to put back into order.
Mm-hmm. Robin, how has creativity influenced the way that you work with these individuals?
I think, of course, every person is different. Mm-hmm. And if you really learn what their personality is, I always like to talk to them, go briefly through their home and see how they live. And then they have special talents. Mm-hmm. I mean, usually when people call me, by the time they call me, they're pretty frustrated and kind of down on themselves. Mm-hmm. Yet I've seen so many with just amazing talents as far as maybe people skills, people that can really do artwork, people that are writers, and they don't have the organization skill. Mm-hmm. So being creative in how you help them, how you see what's going to connect with their personality. And that's able – then I'm able to help them better, I think.
Mm-hmm. So let's say you come into my home in Minnesota. And one of the reasons why I was so excited to interview you, Robin, is because organization is not one of my strengths.
I had a small suspicion that might be the case.
You did? Why?
Because generally people – organizers don't always talk to other organizers. They want to find something out.
So you come into my home. What are you going to tell me, and how are you going to help me practically organize myself and my life?
First, I'm going to tell you a few things about what is probably holding you back on your organizing.
Okay.
I would say every group I talk to, the first thing I tell them is there is more stuff in your closets than belongs there. I may not know one person in the room, but there are 2 to 3 times too much in their closet to be organized. Mm-hmm. And so the only solution to that is build more closets or get rid of some things. And, people tend to be – some people tend to be to really want to hang on to their things, and so that's hard for them. Other people have a too complex or a confusing system. They tend to overorganize, and then they can't get it done because they're just, they're filing continually and trying to just really, it's a complex system and ones that doesn't work with them. You really have to have a place for everything. When you have a place for everything, then you know where to put it. It's not like you ever go, okay, I'm going to do my laundry today. Where did I put my washing machine? You know where it is. It's there. And so even something as small as a pair of scissors or a scotch tape or a certain pan, if you don't have a place for it, you're not going to know where to put it.
Okay.
So you've got to have a place for it. And the other thing I tell people is just don't be afraid to get help. If I did come into your home in Minnesota, is that where you are?
I am. I would absolutely let you into my home. I would not let you into my bedroom. That's how bad my bedroom is right now.
Well, maybe we'd start with the closets or the kitchen cupboards. But you know, there are things, you know, I tell people I've never given myself any dental work. I didn't sew my wedding dress. I don't do electrical. So I get help for that because that's what I need.
Right.
And so if you need help in organization, then find somebody that can come and help you. And they can teach you just like, you know, you've been taught basketball or you've been taught skills or you've been taught, you know, the proper way to. Oh, I know so little about basketball. Make a layup. Is that what it's called?
You sound like a 10-year NBA coach.
Well, I have three boys and a very tall husband. But just as you've been taught skills, you know, you can be taught skills for organization, mm-hmm. too.
Now, we're talking about a lot of different organizational techniques. How do you help people organize events and planning their life as opposed to physical things in their home?
I'm not a really events planner. I would say that I help them, women especially,
right.
When I'm helping them organize their families, mm-hmm. I tell them to keep an active file on their counter of things that they're involved in. So, and it rotates all the time.
Right.
I mean, when my kids were younger, I had one for sports. I had one for school. I had one for, you know, it wasn't a big file. It was just something that I actively was in every day. I had one for scouts, one for young women's. As my children started getting married, you know, I might have one for weddings because there were a lot of things, papers that I was involved in with weddings. My sons were on missions, I would put things that were pertinent to that. Mm-hmm. And so even though that's not, you know, and paper is always a big problem with people. It seems like it's almost the biggest problem I have to teach and help people with is what to do with all the incoming paper.
Mm-hmm. And what do you tell them to do with the incoming
paper?
Well,
I tell them, you know, I tell them if they get 6 pieces of mail a day for 6 days a week, that's over a year, you're going to have 2,000 pieces of mail. I've just had people that have just had, you know, on their kitchen counter just have stacks and stacks of paper.
Paper.
And, you know, if you include children that are in school, what they might bring home, certainly what you bring home from the church, who's, you know, probably a really big paper, you know, buyer, you just have a lot of paper. So what I say is to train your brain that when you have paper incoming, whether it's mail, whether it's a flyer, whatever it is, that you take care of it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't go out to my mailbox until I can take care of the mail. You know, some of it I'll shred. Some of it I'll put in the bill pile. Some of it, like if it's a wedding invitation or, you know, birthday something, I'll put that in my calendar. Mm-hmm. And I might not calendar that minute, but I'll put it in my planner.
Okay.
And so take care of the paper. If you get a catalog and you want to look at it, then put it by where you would read it, maybe by your bed or by a chair. Just take care of the paper immediately. And then, of course, you know, as my father says, it's always easier to keep up than to catch up. And especially with paper, that's a big thing.
Very true. Now, you mentioned paper. What are some of the other very, very common things that in the homes and businesses that you go into, what else typically needs organizing?
Let's talk about a big hall closet.
Okay.
Because I often go in and this is, you know, you said you don't want me to even see your bedroom.
Yeah.
This is what women will say. I'm so embarrassed. Nobody's ever looked in this closet. I don't want, but I need help. And so the first thing I'm going to tell you to do is sort out everything that's in that closet.
Okay.
So put into groups, you know, maybe all the games. All the bungee cords, all the flashlights, all the batteries, whatever it is that you're keeping in that closet, group it into groups. And so that they're all, you know, I've cleaned out a closet, helped maybe that there were a lot of Relief Society centerpieces. Have you seen? They're scary.
Let's hope that was a Relief Society president.
It was. And so you group everything, and then you analyze that, and you decide what you're going to purge. And that really is the biggest problem with people just wanting to hang on to something. I tell them there's an 80-20 rule. You use 20% of what you have, and 80% is something that you think you might use or you have used, or sometimes somebody might ask you to use it, and you just can't let go of it. So, you know, purging is really a good time to have a friend there. If you don't have somebody professionally helping you, and they can say, you know, I went and helped a lady a couple of weeks ago that she just wanted to clean out a closet in her bathroom. And I think we threw over 80% of what was in there away. She just couldn't do it alone.
She needed the moral support for you to be there for her to part with some of the stuff.
And you know, we'd look at expiration dates and I'd say, this expired 10 years ago. Okay. All right. We can throw that away. And so, you know, the other thing, too, was I didn't know her. She had just called me. It wasn't personal. I wasn't going to tell anybody just on, you know, radio about her.
And we're not saying the name.
No.
Confidentiality.
No. I do keep confidentiality.
Well, it's obviously still intact. We're not discussing any details of anyone.
But she really needed me to just be there because she has a hard time purging.
It's interesting you say that because I think of my own house where, and I don't know if you travel in your organizational duties.
I do.
But you know, I fall into that category. And so what you're saying is having the support of a friend or an organizer like yourself, mm-hmm. it makes it a lot easier.
Oh, it does. Especially when you have that, you know, maybe talent or something that you just don't want to get rid of it. And then I tell people that they need to assign it a home. And maybe the home will be in this huge closet that we're doing. Maybe the bungee cords will go out in the garage. Maybe the batteries will go in another place. But generally, by the time we've purged and we find a home for things, we need to, you know, the closet, like I said to begin with, it's two or three times too full. So you can't keep things organized when there's just so much in there. And then I'm like a super containerized person because when you organize, if you don't containerize it, then it just seems to bleed back into everything else that's in the closet. So after I've, you know, I'll put all the batteries in a container that fits it. I'll put, you know, maybe if we're organizing a gear supply closet, I'll put all this toothpaste in a container. I'll put all the soap in a container. And of course, you know, labeling is just one of my deep loves.
And I like that. I like that.
So I containerize and label and it's, you know, if you walked into my house, I just couldn't even count the containers I have in my closet. But they're all labeled and we all know what they are.
Your husband, who's here with us in the studio, does he utilize the containers in the labeling system?
Yeah. He's built me shelves out in the garage and we'll, you know, I put Christmas things and just things that'll stay camping and mm-hmm. and he's a big supporter.
Mm-hmm. Robin, tell me about the transformation or empowerment of a member of your clientele pre and post working with you.
Oh, I think that's just the key to why I do this. Because like I said, I talk to people who literally feel less of a person. They feel frustrated. They, you know, really are emotional about it. And as we go in, it's just such a cleansing feeling. It's an enabling power to know where things are, to have control of your situation and your surroundings. And, you know, as there was one mother I helped that she had been a professional. She was had a PhD and was a professor at a college. She didn't marry till late in life. Mm-hmm. I think she was in her early 40s and right. She was able to have two children, but she just did not know how to take care of the home.
Right.
She didn't know how to organize it and run it. And she had been such a wonderful professional. She had so many talents.
Right.
But she just didn't know how to run a home. And as I went and worked with her, you know, I get a lot of just big thanks. And that's wonderful. And mm-hmm. she just really learned, okay, I'm smart. I'm intelligent. I can do this. It's not a skill set that I had before, mm-hmm. but it's one I have now.
Well, you say a great statement that really resonates with me. She got to the point where she said, I can do this. I can
right.
take these steps
right.
and I can learn these skills and take it forward in life.
Right. And that's a, you know, teaching anyone. I'm sure you've had that experience, but
mm-hmm.
you know, in a church job, in with my children and my family, or you know, visiting teaching, when you're able to teach somebody something and they really can incorporate it, you know, it's just the same as yourself. When you learn something, it's so it makes you just feel so much more knowledgeable, and of course, that's what we can take with us in the next life.
Right. You and I were talking offline prior to this interview, and I was asking you about different activities you do with the organization. You mentioned that you'll do it for free at times with people that where you really see a need.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us, myself and the listeners, a little bit more about that and how you organize that aspect of your life.
Yeah, you know, it's a very touchy subject. Mm-hmm. With others, if I know that that's what they need.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not, you know, it's like you just don't go up to somebody and say, you know, can I come into your house and change your life for you? I mean, because then, you know, they might think that they're less than. So sometimes for birthdays, I give coupons.
Right.
If I have a friend that will tell me that they know somebody that really needs help, but they can't afford it, I'll go in and maybe I won't spend hours there organizing for them, but I'll go in and give them a 15-minute lesson in homework assignments.
Right.
I'll say, you know, I'll come back in 2 weeks and you do this, this, and this. You, maybe I want you to go through these two boxes and organize all of what's in them as far as paperwork.
Right.
Then I'll come back and I'll give you a next step. And so it doesn't always take time, a lot of time, but I'm able to give them homework assignments. And as in anything you try new in your life, you just start with small steps and you learn how to do it. I always give my mom for Mother's Day 2 or 3 hours of organizing a coupon. And she loves that.
I bet she would. And I bet I would love a coupon, too, at the end of this interview.
We'll see about that.
Let me ask you this question. Disorganized people tend to bother organized people more than vice versa. would you say that's true?
I would say that it's absolutely not true.
That's not true.
No. And I think people think that about me. But I do not walk into people's homes and ever judge or think about it. I have a dear, sweet neighbor who just, I think, the world of. And, you know, I would just never go into somebody's home and think that. I just don't. It's, you don't want to be judged. Why judge somebody else?
Great point.
So, you know, I think the opposite. I think I have neighbors that'll look at my husband and me out there cleaning the garage again and think, those people are just obsessed. Or, you know, they'll come in and I'll open a cupboard and there'll be 10 boxes with labels on them, you know, oatmeal, paper cups, straws, and they'll go, oh, this woman is controlled by her organization. And so, you know, I don't think disorganized people bother me at all.
Who is the most difficult, challenging client you've ever worked with?
Oh, my goodness. Probably my son.
Oh!
I went to Ohio, where he lives. He's in the Kirtland Ward.
Okay.
He's married and has 4 kids. I went a few weeks ago just to visit. They had moved into a new home, and he has a man cave. And he wanted, it was just totally unorganized. And and I had promised him, what are you looking at?
I'm looking at your family. We got your husband and daughter over there.
Yeah, I'm not looking at them. This is radio. I'm pretending like they're not there. Anyway, he had kind of a man cave where his wife had let him have some space. And he's a real hobbyist as far as tools are concerned, guns, leather work. He just has a lot of hobbies. And I worked with him, and he had a really hard time throwing things away. And we worked three or four nights. And, you know, I've talked to him about it since, and it's been a real joy to him. He's just, he says, you know, he had all the Boy Scouts in his ward over and did a merit badge with them on woodworking. And he said, I wasn't embarrassed to take him in, you know, my workroom. And his little three-year-old will run when something's broken, one of her toys. She puts it on his workbench now because she knows where she can put it. And so, you know, he wasn't the most difficult, but because we knew each other, you know, I mean, maybe it was a little harder for him to take my advice and see me as a professional instead of mom.
But it helped him ultimately very, very much.
Yeah, this is my 33-year-old PhD son.
Well, it sounds like you were able to really affect his life once again in a very positive way.
Well, I have five kids that are ADD out of the six.
Okay.
And so, you know, what I tell them and what I tell my clients is focus and stay, you know, if you're going to work on something, don't be a zigzag organizer. People do that so often. They'll think, okay, I'm going to put away this book, and then they'll go and they'll put away a book, and then they'll see something out of place. Maybe it's in a study. Oh, well, I'm going to, you know, I need to get this and answer this email. And then I need to, you know, and they'll just go around the house really not accomplishing anything. So when you decide you're going to clean a drawer or a cupboard or your bedroom, stay focused on one. You know, you're just going to do that one thing. You're not going to, you know, usually I say have three or four boxes out where one might be garbage, one might be a DI or a Salvation Army box, one might be long-term storage.
Right.
And so stay focused.
Keep the focus
right
on the task at hand. Robin, you have six children. You have how many grandchildren?
10.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
As your family continues to grow and as you continue to help and work with people, what will you tell your grandchildren about organization and creativity and how it can be linked to a healthy lifestyle, gospel living? What will you tell your grandchildren as they get older?
Well, as I mentioned, I was in Ohio a couple weeks ago.
Right.
I've got an 8-year-old, 6-year-old grandsons and a 3-year-old, 2-year-old granddaughters. And you, with the granddaughters, I played a memory game and we organized all of these things that matched. And then we went in their room and we organized their shoes and their shirts. And, you know, it was really fun. With the boys, I went down. They had an assignment to clean up the basement and there were just, you know, toys everywhere, what you would think with a family with that many children. And so we put all the guns together, all the weapons. We put all the Transformers in another box. We put all the Lego in another box. And, you know, just it was fun. Mm-hmm. And then as the week went on, when it was time for them to clean the basement, you know, they really could see I just got to pick up that gun and stick it in this gun box or whatever toy, whether it was cars or the girls had dolls. So that was really fun.
Like you mentioned earlier, there was a place for them to put these things.
Right, right. We'd made their mother's pretty organized, too. not my daughter, but she's, and so she, you know, she had boxes. She'd had a picture on the outside of the box of what belonged in there. And we just kind of added to that.
Now, some people do not want to be organized.
Right.
How do you work with those people?
Generally, I don't. I don't want to be an NBA player, so I don't know you're going to do any work with me. But people who don't want to be organized are not the ones that call me. You know, I think a lot of people that are organized think that aren't organized think that those of us who are really kind of slaves to it. And I think it's enlightening to them if they do have if they have help and they get more organized, that they see that their life can just run so much better. I mean, I feel as a young mother, I was able to give my children so many opportunities as far as sports, reading, you know, plays, books, musicals, everything that they were interested in, because my home was organized and I wasn't always cleaning. I wasn't always trying to find papers. And so to me, it's an enlightening, powerful tool.
Robin, your children are out of the home. They're educated now. They're taking the next steps in life. You've been a professional organizer for 10 years. How do you envision the next 10 years in using your gifts of communicating and organization in helping other people? How do you envision the future?
For me, I think I'll continue to do what I'm doing. I have elderly parents that need help still. And I've got an 18-year-old that sometimes a little stinker. And so I need to help him. But I think, you know, I don't see it changing a lot as far as my professional organizing. I love that I do when I do it. I'll walk out of somebody's home and just have a great feeling. It works in with my family life. I'm able to keep my kids in touch with each other because they're scattered, and we have a blog that we all kind of write on, and that's really fun. Things like that, I see, you know, keeping our family together, continuing to build up the kingdom. I'm in the primary presidency, and I've worked with children we've been in for about 3 years, and we have some really fun things we've done with them. As far as the scriptures and teaching them how to mark the scriptures. And I've made this is where I think the creativity part comes in, that we make glue-ins for them every week. And they, you know, they might have a picture of if they're talking, well, I made a glue-in once for James 1:5, and it was a picture of Joseph Smith sitting in a chair reading James 1:5. Oh. And so we just put that in the scriptures with him. And so, you know, I find that working in primary, whatever church job you can have, creativity, you know, the Hebrew word for create is organize.
Really?
Uh-huh. To be able to help people and do that. I mean, I mentioned about the scriptures that I had read about organization last night, and so many of them were about, from Genesis or Moses, about creating the world. And much of what they did was organizing. Mm-hmm. You know, organizing that they didn't have animals before they had something that the animals could eat. Or, you know, just every way, every pattern that the Lord did, we can follow in our lives.
Boy, that is such an interesting insight about the Hebrew word for create is organize. Now, you mentioned the scriptures, the accounts in the Old Testament, in the Pearl of Great Price about creation, obviously the importance of creation in other areas in our church. What would you tell the listeners in general about this link between organization and creativity?
I would say that when you're organized, it seems to me to be able to free up my mind. It's clear. I can receive inspiration. I can receive ideas that, you know, right now, of course, maybe it's for sharing time, but ideas that if my mind wasn't freed up, if I was confused, if there was chaos in my life, I wouldn't be able to receive. And there's some of them are so creative, the ways to teach the scriptures to children. And when I'm able to get those ideas, I know they come from the Lord. I know that. I know every talent that we've been given comes from the Lord. And each of us has a talent, every single one. So whether it's being an organizer whatever else, when you can receive that creativity, inspiration, that's a good feeling.
Robin, how do people find you?
They really find me through word of mouth.
Right.
I work just, I'm live in Davis County and I work in the Salt Lake area. I have a sister that lives in Arizona and she flies me out a couple times a year to help her. I have another one that lives in Dallas and she's flown me out. I really seem like I have about all of the work right now that I need. If somebody wants me, they generally will get me through my email.
Robin, have you developed any sort of organizational system that is your own that is specific to you?
A lot of it I have learned from studying and reading. There are some things that I tell people that are things I have observed and that they help. One of them is I usually tell them four things at the very end of my lecture. I say, do something lasting every day. I found as a young mother, there was so many things that I did that were not lasting, dishes and laundry. But if I cleaned out one drawer a day or cleaned out my purse for the day, if you just do something lasting that'll last for a little while, it gives you a sense of that you are moving ahead. I tell them to just do one thing at a time. Don't, you see those shows on TV where they'll take everything out of the house and just go for it. Just clean a drawer, clean a cupboard, just do one thing. And then what I've found is people's progress and the visual that they see of, oh, I've got this clean closet or clean drawer, spurs them to do more. Whenever I organize, I'm reorganizing constantly, and that's what I tell people is they need to maintain. But as I reorganize, things in my own house, I'll walk by them two or three times a day just to look at them because it brings me joy. Another thing I tell people is in a busy life, you can accomplish a lot in just 15 minutes. I had a file system once I wanted to reorganize, and young children, and I just didn't know how I could do it. And I just did 15 minutes a day. It took me a year, but it's still a file system that I use. And then the last thing I always tell them is don't be a perfectionist. There's a difference in striving for excellence and being a perfectionist. One is the Lord's way, and trying to have everything perfect is just not going to work. Just strive for excellence and to do well.
And to be realistic about
it. Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm a professional basketball player. You're a professional organizer. There's strategies that both of us use. How would you relate each of our respective activities to the other?
Wow. I guess I would think that we find how it works with our own system. We learn that you take small steps. We learn that you compete or play against yourself more and what you've been doing and try to improve that instead of, I guess yours is more of a competition than mine. I think with anything, you start and you have to have a desire to want to improve something, create something. And then when you have that desire, if you don't have it internally, every time I've prayed for it, the Lord has blessed me with that. So the Lord will give you what you need.
It's a great comment to start with the desire. And if you don't have the desire, to seek the desire through prayer.
Right.
There's been a lot of talk, especially in the last 10 years, about digital records, digital organization. Have you experienced much and taught much about digital organizing?
I would say I haven't taught a lot, but I may be slow to come to the party just because of my age, but my children have dragged me in.
Lindsay dragged you in over there in the studio.
We've had for a number of years what we call a quote board. And when And, you know, being funny in our house is pretty important. So whenever anybody says something funny, we put it on the quote board. And probably in the last year, we've decided we're going to do that, you know, as a private family blog. And almost every day somebody puts something on it. And, you know, it's just fun to read. We are able to make comments and it's a fun way that we've done. You know, each of my kids have a blog, and so I'll read them and look at pictures and comment on those. My journal is all on computer. I write in my journal, you know, frequently,
right,
and on a continuous basis. And so that's all on probably the last 10 years. It's on computer. I do print it up and make a hard copy, mm-hmm, but it's still there. So, you know, I'm making baby steps.
Robin, people talk about a buzzword of late, emotionally intelligent. And to me, what that gets down to is organization externally versus internally, with the internal being yourself, on the inside before going, you know, to the outside. Mm-hmm. How would you characterize the difference and the importance of being internally organized?
Well, God's house is a house of order. And if you want to accomplish in your life, you know, the basic tenets of our gospel, prayer, scriptures, service, you need to be internally organized. You need to decide when you're going to do that. You need to stay on top of it and add a little bit to your life every day or a lot. You know, there's days when I've maybe really been down and just needed to lose myself in the scriptures. And I've organized time where I take the phone off the hook and spend some hours just recharging. So, you know, I think organization and creativity fall into that category, too.
Hmm. Well, Robin, this has been a lot of fun, number one. And number two, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us today. And I want to let you know, I took some notes on everything you said.
That
I'm going to try to implement that into my own life.
Good. Well, I've got my talk. I'll help you with it if you need help. And it's been really fun talking to you, Mark.
Yeah. And I hope you're not a Jazz fan. I hope you're a Timberwolves fan.
Oh, you know, I'm not any fan, so now I'm a Timberwolves fan.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Everything Creative, an interview between Mark Madsen and Robin Peterson.